Desire and interest in your prayers written on the board. Offense by the Spirit. Now last Sunday, and this is kind of a little series within a series, we've been dealing with for a number of months. Once we have the Holy Spirit, what now? How does the Holy Spirit work in our life? What is He doing? How does He work? What are our responsibilities? And last week we talked about the defense that is in salvation. And we have a strong city this morning. Salvation is a defense against the enemy and against the tide of the world. It's a defense to us. It was not intended to keep us in. It was intended to keep the enemy out. That's what the walls of salvation do for us. And if we ever begin to feel constrained within the walls of salvation, it means we're losing true perspective of what God's wanting to do in our life. This is not about I can't go there and I can't do this and I can't wear that and I can't watch this and I can't. That is not what salvation is about. Salvation is about what you can do. Salvation is about what you are free from. I don't have to do that anymore. It is a defense to us. It is a protection to us. Now last Sunday we concluded, and we're going to pick up where we left off last Sunday, speaking about not only the defense of salvation, but the danger that is in neutrality. And that's where we left off, and that's almost a message in and of itself, but we're going to finish up with that and then move on to offense by the Spirit. If we do nothing, we heard in Sunday school, and the Sunday school lesson in the adult class was a good foundation for the message this morning. But if we do nothing, we're going to get in trouble spiritually. Say, well, I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not using bad language, and I'm not drinking, and I'm not committing adultery or fornication, and I'm not doing the sinful things I used to do. That's good. That's a defense to you. But we can only go so long in a condition of just defense against the enemy before we get in trouble, because if we do nothing, the enemy is going to be right there when we're doing nothing. And that's where lazy people get in trouble spiritually. You will find that people that are just lazy in a natural sense, they are people that have difficulty spiritually because their mind is not occupied with something good and something positive. What is the saying? I might miss it. An idle mind is the devil's workshop. Is that right? It applies that way. It's true. If we're not busy doing something good, we're going to get in trouble. And it's why it's important for us to recognize I don't want to spend all my time just fighting against the enemy, or I don't want to be in a place that I'm just neutral. Doctrinally speaking, a state of neutrality will get us in trouble. All right? On doctrinal issues. We live in a society in the world that's saying anything goes. We're all headed to heaven. You live your way, I'll live my way, and we all interpret the Bible a little differently, and we have some different standards. Folks, I want us to understand, if we do not have standards in our life, we will end up back on the devil's playground. If we do not have standards based on the Word of God, we will find ourselves somewhere along the line, and it's not always a clear-cut thing. I'm saved or I'm not saved. I'm following what the Bible says and I'm not. There are some gray areas. There are some issues and some things, the hot button issues that we could all talk about and have some different opinions maybe. There are some clear standards in the Word of God, but there are some of the interpretation, how do I live out this standard of holiness? Where the rubber meets the road. What am I going to actually do? Where am I going to go? What am I going to listen to? How am I going to behave myself? There are some gray areas. And it doesn't do us justice, it does not do justice to us spiritually this morning to say we can all do whatever we want, we're going to end up right. Because in those areas, unless we begin to make some firm stands in our life that I will not do that, by tacit consent, we're going to begin to drift back to the very things God delivered us from. We're going to find ourselves back in the world, and it's not even going to be a conscious decision. But it's going to be because I'm neutral. See? Neutrality can only go on so far before we're going to end up making a pact with the enemy. You remember the children of Israel? And it's the Hivites is how it's pronounced in the scripture. But when the Hivites came to the children of Israel, and they wanted to make a league with them, and they put on their old clothes, and they let their bread get moldy, and they said, we've come a far journey. It's like, well, these poor people have some sympathy. But they made a pact with them without looking to the Lord first. Without, they sought not counsel of the Lord, the scripture says, and they made a pact with them that they wouldn't kill them and they would let them be the hewers of wood and be their servants. Do you recognize that down the road, they got in trouble because their daughters and sons, their sons and daughters married each other. They introduced idolatry and idol worship because they didn't destroy the enemy. They were in a condition of neutrality. We'll just get along. Folks, we need to get along with people. We need to love the sinner. But I want to again challenge you and warn you of the danger of neutrality on doctrinal issues. If you don't have a personal standard, there are some personal standards I have that I can't put on you this morning. Because the Lord's given me those things. But there are some other things, and when the Bible teaches it, then we have a responsibility as a body, as a people, to teach that and promote that and warn against areas that the enemy would like to encroach upon. You're going to need some personal standards in your life. And this morning, if you do not have personal standards, I'll warn you, you're going to get in trouble. It's not because, well, the preacher said this, or this is what they taught 100 years ago. Folks, that's not good enough for me either. So if you don't like to hear that be the foundation of everything that we teach as a people, I will go on record this morning and say it's not good enough for me either. But I'm going to do what I do. I'm blessed with the heritage that we have. But it's got to go beyond heritage. It's got to go beyond. It's just tradition. There are some things, the hot button issues. You know what I'm talking about. The things that can start stirring up some controversy when people get in discussions, that people say, well, that's just a tradition. I would take biblical scriptural issue with some of those because it's not just a tradition. It might be a tradition, but it's more than a tradition. This is what the Bible says. It speaks of how to conduct ourselves. It speaks of the spirit and the attitude. It speaks of the motivation of why we do what we do. It's not just tradition. I'm thankful for godly, holy traditions, but I will say this morning, the reason that we live like we do must go beyond that, thus saith the Word of God. And then I'm going to take these principles and doctrines of the Bible, and I'm going to seek God for personal standards in my life that will be a defense to me. And you say, but I'm neutral. Or you're going to get in trouble. Neutrality. Remember I gave you the example last Sunday of what happened while the U.S. was neutral in World War II? Hitler kept taking country by country until finally the U.S. got off the fence and combated the enemy. Folks, we need to do battle with the devil this morning. I talked about the defense of salvation, but there is some offense by the Spirit that we must begin to take the battle to the devil. And that's what I'd like to address this morning. Before we do, I want to just relate, you know, the scripture. In James, in the first chapter, in the 8th verse, it says, a double-minded man is what? He's unstable in what? In all his ways. Do you believe that this morning? He's unstable. There is too much instability right among God's people this morning. Folks, I'll preach where we live. There's too much instability. And I don't think it's because people have turned their back on God. I think it's because they've been fighting defensively for too long and do not have an offensive warfare by the Holy Spirit. And so there's this double-mindedness. It's I don't want to go the way of the world, and I want to live right, and I want to do right, but there's this area of neutrality. They're making leagues with the devil. They're making leagues with the world, and at the same time, they really want to do what God wants. And it causes instability. It's not a condition of peace this morning. You young people, I understand there is a strong pull of the world. And you are not alone in filling that pool. Whether you believe it or not, I was your age one time too. And your parents were. and there is a strong pull, and I will also acknowledge it's getting stronger. And it's not just the young people that feel it. Old people feel it too. There is a draw, there's a pull. That doesn't mean you're not doing right. But it's part of the battle this morning, and we're going to have to not just say, well, I'm just going to try to be neutral and try to go along. We're going to have to stand up and be spiritual men, like I said last Sunday, stand up and take a stand against the enemy. And when I feel the pull, yeah, I feel the pull. Yes, I'm being tempted to do such and such. You know, I asked someone a while back, I said, well, I said, are you struggling? Are you having some temptations? And the first response was, no, that concerns me if someone tells me they don't have any temptation. That concerns me. You know why? Because it means you're probably just giving in to them. The battle is when I'm in the flesh, I'm drawn or have a draw to do something that I shouldn't, and my spirit's saying no. No, you can't do that. That's a temptation. You know, I used to give the example of the can of beer. I said, it's not even temptation to me. My boys informed me after that, yeah, Dad, that can of beer is not a temptation to Dad, but put a Danish in front of him. Do you recognize temptation is what you're drawn to? I don't care whether, well, there's nothing wrong with eating a Danish as long as you're in temperance, right? Now, the can of beer is another story, but I want to say something. Temptation in and of itself is not wrong. So if you're tempted to do something sinful, it doesn't lessen your spiritual walk with God. It's the battle. But I can't afford to sit back and say, yes, I have a real weakness there, and yes, Lord, I'm saved, and so I'm not going to do that. There's going to come a time in life when I'm in a weak moment, I'm going to get caught up with that temptation unless I stop fighting defensively and go on the offense against the devil. I'm going to have to start actively pursuing the devil in areas of weakness in my life. I don't want to be unstable, double-minded. Well, let's move on. A defensive war will only end in inevitable defeat. All right? A defensive war will only end in inevitable defeat. We sing this song, and I remember a number of years ago, it was kind of the young people's theme song, No Ground. I've always, and I've said it here before, they needed another verse to that song, More Ground. Because you can only hold your ground for so long, and you will start losing it. I am thankful for those that aren't losing ground, but I watched those young people that were all caught up in that young people's group, where are they today? You want to go through the list? Where are they today? It's not enough to say no ground, and I don't have anything against that song, so y'all keep singing it. Hold the ground that God's given you, but my message to you is go forward. Gain some more ground. I don't want to stay where I was. God delivered me from sin. He forgave me. I'm a new creature, and I'm thankful for that. But tomorrow, I want to be further down the road with God than I am today. I don't want to be in the same place next year that I am right now. And I'm talking personally. I want to have some more ground in my life. I want to have some more victories in my life. In some of the things that are a battle to me right now, I want to be further down the road next year, which means I'm going to have to go on the offense. I'm going to have to, again, don't give up the defense. You understand? The defense of salvation is vital. But do you gain points in it? Look at the sports world. Do you gain points when you're on the defense? What about in football? The defensive team comes out and the other team has the ball, right? And you're just playing defense. You gain points playing defense? No. Baseball. You know, you're the pitcher, you're on first base, second base. Do you gain points when you're out there in the field? No. All you're doing is trying to keep the opposite team at bay. That's all you're doing. And then there's a time that you get on the offense, you got the ball. That's when you score points. Why then spiritually, folks? It's no different. We can be on the defense. I'm saved. I've been forgiven. The wall, we have a strong city in salvation. But folks, God gave us the Holy Spirit that we can go on the offense now. I'm not just defending myself all the time, but I'm going to head after the enemy. And I'm not going to go in my own strength, but I come in the name of the Lord. I'm weak here, but in the name of the Lord, I'm going to give me that mountain, see? Give me that mountain. Do you have some mountains in your life? Give me that mountain. And you can sit back and fight and protect yourself. Put the hedge around you. It can only last so long. Defense takes a lot of time and energy. Defense takes a lot of, you get consumed with protecting yourself when you're on the defense. Because, you know, when you're on the defense militarily, let's say that the enemy was coming to Springfield, all right? We've got an army marching on the grand city of Springfield. What are we going to do? Say, we don't know where they're coming from. So we're going to have to post guards on every single road heading towards this place. And there's a lot of roads. We can watch the main artery. We can watch 44 here. But you know, most likely that's not where the enemy's going to come. They're going to come on one of these little country roads somewhere and wind their way in to try to get in the city without being detected. So we're on the defense. We know they're coming. What are we going to do? We're going to have to start watching every single area. That takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time. And folks, it will wear you out. Spiritually, it's the same way. I don't want to go back to the world. And so we're watching here. Where's the devil? And I'm watching there. And I'm watching over here. Folks, we can spiritually get tired. But you know what the answer is? Go find the enemy. Because when you're on the defense, you're having to watch every area. But when you go on the offense, you find the enemy and you give it everything you've got and you can focus your energy on one place. I'd like to encourage y'all to go after the devil this morning. Don't do it in your own strength, but go on the offense by the Spirit. With the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. The scripture in 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not ignorant this morning of his devices. He has a trap laid for each and every one of us this morning. The devil has a trap laid. The devil knows your weaknesses. So how long are you going to stay on the defense when you know you're weak? And I know the devil knows I'm weak there. Are we just going to fold our hands and say, I'm going to be strong and I'm not going to give in? Or are we going to say, the devil knows I'm going after him? You know, you've seen those pictures, wanted dead or alive with the person right in the crosshairs. I want to encourage y'all to go hunting this week. Go hunting. Put the devil in your crosshairs and recognize that I don't want to just keep fighting defensively. I'm going to go on the offense and I'm going to gain some ground. I'm going to go after him to kill and to destroy him. You need to stop being neutral. We can spread our resources so thin. When we are fighting defensively, we need to go on the offense. I was reading recently in a military strategic manual. I want to read some. I wrote it down what it said. The immediate purpose of defensive operations is to defeat an attack. Military forces defend only until they gain sufficient strength to attack. Did you get that? The immediate purpose of defensive operation is to defeat an attack. See, that's important. But military forces defend only until they gain sufficient strength to attack. See, defense is important, folks. But we need to recognize if we have the Holy Spirit in our life, Jesus came for that purpose. Jesus came for the purpose that you might have the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why He came. He came to prepare this vessel that the power of God could rest in our life. What are we going to do once we have the Holy Spirit? We need to get off our couch. We need to get off a state of neutrality, and we need to go on the offense. We need to attack the enemy. Take the battle to the enemy in our life. The best defense, y'all have heard that little saying, the best defense is a good offense. I believe that spiritually. Get the enemy on the run this morning. Go forward. Let me ask, are there any areas in your life this morning that you know, you could go on the offense. Let's do it. Let's go with the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for the walls of salvation this morning. But folks, I am desperate to gain some ground. I need more ground, because it is only when we are moving forward that we're going to find the greatest peace and the greatest victories. That I've won some battles, and I've got some battles under my belt. And as long as I'm in life, I'm in a war. And you are too. It's a spiritual warfare. But we need to go out and do battle. Take the battle to the enemy this morning. The offense, by definition, offense is the means or method of attacking or attempting to score. Offense is scoring ability. How's your scoring ability this morning? Well, I'm defending. I'm not losing ground. I'm holding my own. How many times do people get saved and after a year they're holding their own? Doesn't last very long. You know what I'm seeing happening? People get saved, they go back. They get saved, they go back. There's an answer to that this morning. There's an answer to that, and it's to get the Holy Spirit in our life that we can start going forward. That was the whole plan of salvation. It wasn't that we get forgiven of our sins and wait a year before we get the Holy Spirit. Get saved and then come and get the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Too many people are losing the ground they have because they're on the defense. Get the Holy Spirit and go on the offense against the enemy. Now, to save time, we read part of it last week, but in the sixth chapter of Ephesians, when it goes through the army or the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, and it gives us all this armor, those things are defensive, aren't they? The protection, the shield of faith. It's a protection. But there is one offensive weapon that was given in that list. What was it? The sword of the Spirit. So we get saved and we get armored up. I'm protected. But you know what? We can spend all of our time just trying to block the enemy, and we get so worn out just blocking the enemy. Pull out your sword and go kill him. Pull out your sword and go on the offense. And if you can't kill him, cut his arm off. Lame the man, see? You understand what I'm saying? Spiritually, folks, we must have the defense, but we've got to get that sword out and use it. Go on the offense against the enemy. Press the battle to the gate. Take the battle to him. Let's turn and read in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power. After what? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in other words, at home, and in Judea and in Samaria, in other words, other places, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Folks, God, Jesus, did not send the disciples out after the resurrection until they were empowered with the Holy Spirit. How do we think today that we're going to withstand the onslaught of the enemy against us if we don't have the Holy Spirit? And if you have the Holy Spirit, I want to challenge you this morning, start using it. People can just be protecting themselves. Pull out your sword. We're not the weapons of our warfare this morning. They're not carnal. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. If you have the Holy Spirit, let Him work in your life. Go on the offense with Him. Hunt the devil down. Where are your weaknesses? Are there any of us here without weaknesses this morning? If there is, you ought to be up here instead of me. Actually, you probably have some pride, some self-righteousness. We all have weaknesses this morning. What are we doing with them? I'm just trying to stay saved, and I'm going to have a standard here. Keep your standard. Don't go neutral on the Lord. Don't go neutral on Him, but it's time to start doing some battle. I'm going to gain some ground here. The Scripture says over in 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, flee also youthful lust. Now, you know why He said to flee Him? Listen, older folks, it's because you don't grow out of them. All right? Flee also youthful lust. You think, well, when I get older, I won't have these struggles. Yes, you will. So you better run. Flee them. That's defense. If you're being tempted, run from the temptation. But the scripture didn't stop there. He said, flee also youthful lust, but follow after. Follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Go on the defense. Run from those bad things, but follow after or pursue the good things. You see, if I am seeking righteousness, there's not going to be as much room for the devil to work unrighteousness. If I'm following after charity for people that aren't treating me right, there's not as much room to battle unforgiveness. There's not as much room to battle bitterness because now I'm seeking after love for those people. See, I'm just trying to defend. I don't want to have a bad attitude. Have you ever said that? I hope you have. I don't want to have a bad attitude because if you haven't said it, you probably have a bad attitude. But do you know what? It goes beyond just trying not to have a bad attitude. Go on the offense. I want to have a good attitude. I want to have more love for that person. I want to forgive that person in a way that I haven't done before because I've just been defending myself from not wanting to have a bad attitude. But now I'm going to pursue that thing. And what's offense? Jesus said, go the second mile. That's offense. Defense is, I'll carry their, they took my coat and so I'll let them have it and, you know, I'll go the first mile with them because I have to, right? That's defense. That's just simple obedience and I have to do those things. Go the second mile. That's offense. Another area that we can go on the offense against the enemy is through obedience. You have some walls of Jericho, remember? God told them just march around the city. Day after day after day, and on the seventh day, march around seven times. In their obedience, the walls fell down. Folks, that's offense. I'm not going to sit back and look at the walls and say, I'm saved, and the Lord, you gave me Canaan land, but wow, those walls are so bad. Lord, would you please bring the walls down? Get up and start walking around the city. See? Get up. Get up and go on the offense in obedience. I don't know what the Lord's talking to your heart about. I don't know what walls you have in your life. Take the battle to the enemy this morning. There's victories there. Hunt him down. You know, that's where we need to start actively praying for the areas in our life where there's weaknesses. Actively pray. And I want to challenge y'all with this. Anybody have, again, you have struggles in your life, right? Because we're human. We have struggles. Every day I want to challenge you, take one of your weaknesses. Take one of those areas that the devil's really been working. And every single day, don't just say, Lord, would you give me grace for the day and help me to be what you want me to be? In Jesus' name, amen. Name it out. Lord, you know, and don't do it in public prayer, okay? Don't do it in public prayer. Everybody doesn't need to know. But in your private connection with God, spell out exactly where you're battling. Lord, I'm feeling pulled to this. And I am, Lord, I'm really struck. Lord, I want some help today, and I want to do what you want me to do, and I want to be careful, and I want to take the battle to the enemy. Folks, every single day, go on the offense. Name it out. And you're going to start finding there's victories there. You have a problem with someone in your life? Is there anybody you have that doesn't treat you right? You have a problem with someone? You might have more than one. You know what to do? What did Jesus tell us to do? He taught us to go on the offense, didn't he? If your enemy hunger, feed him. And that's some of the writings of Paul, but Jesus in essence taught the same thing. If your enemy does wrong to you, love them, pray for them, do good to them, give them a call. You see they're in trouble, do something for them. That's more than staying home saying, I'm saved and I'm going to try not to have a bad attitude. Keep coals of fire on their head. Do good to them. That's on the offense. That's hunting the enemy down. That may be literally too. Take love to them. If it's a person, if it's a devil, pull your sword out and go.
We heard this morning in Sunday school, and we'll wrap this up and just briefly. What are you doing for the Lord this morning? One of the greatest areas, I believe, that helps combat the enemy in the weaknesses and the traps that he has laid for us is to get busy doing God's work. And we can come to church and we can sing and pray, and I hope we do, but we can do nothing. What are you doing for God? He said, what are you doing? I'm not doing anything. I'm not doing anything bad. I'm not doing anything. I know you need to start doing something. You need to start working for God. Get up. You recognize, and there may be some that take exception to this, but I think I'm going to go ahead and say it. When God gives you a call, and you do not obey the call of God to work for Him, you are in danger of losing your soul, because obeying the call is actually can turn out to be your very salvation. Because as long as I'm doing what God wants, see, that's a protection. It's defense, but it's also offense. I'm doing what God wants, actively pursuing it. But if I say I'm not doing anything wrong, but I'm not going to follow the call God's given me, there have been many a person that has lost their soul. And you say, I thought God was using them. I thought God was using them. What happened? They went back to the world. What happened? Their call was their salvation. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get busy doing God's work, folks. We read this morning in Sunday school, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Serving God is not just about not doing anything wrong. That's the negative. That's the defense approach. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Do something good. I'm not listening to anything bad. Listen to something good. I'm not watching anything bad. Watch something good. See, go somewhere good. Go somewhere that's going to edify. Well, I'm trying not to have a bad attitude. Have a good attitude. Try it for a change. See, it's not in your own strength. The key is by the Spirit. See, because I can't do it myself. If my flesh had it right away, I wouldn't be here this morning. Would you? I definitely wouldn't be here this morning. But we've got to go on the offense, not by our own strength, but Lord, I want your power of your Spirit in my life. I want to love, I want to forgive, I want to combat the weaknesses of my life, and I want to get further down the road. So where would we conclude this morning? Go and live. Go and do, go and be by the power of the Spirit, and let's take the battle to the enemy. Thankful for the walls of salvation. I'm thankful for the defense of salvation. But folks, if we're going to make it, we're going to have to go on the offense by the Spirit.